It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Bill, do you remember quite some time ago, we had the director of the Friends of the Parks on.
I do remember that.
They were fighting this Lucas Museum of Narrative Art that was going to open up on Chicago's lakefront. And we had the director, the then director, on because we thought they don't really have a leg to stand on.
Sure.
That was almost 2 years ago, if memory serves me. And we have Ted Cox in the studio, reporter and producer for DNAinfo.com. And Ted, this was about 2 years ago.
I think that's right, when it was first filed.
And who thought 2 years later we'd still be having this issue? We're going to lose it.
Not the mayor, that's for sure.
Well, that's a whole other thing. Mayor Rahm Emanuel does not want to see us lose the bid for the Lucas Museum. And so what does he want to do, tear down part of McCormick Place?
He wants to tear down the old McCormick Place, the one that they rebuilt after the first one burned in 67. So it's the big, flat, black building that's just east of Lakeshore Drive there.
Which gets some use, right?
Yeah, it's still a little bit. Helmut Jahn, the architect who aided in designing that. He was at City Hall last week for his skyscraper that's going to be down in the South Loop and was talking about it and was talking about how even today conventions want to go there because it's not just a big dim box like most convention centers across the nation.
It's good looking on the outside too.
It's very Spartan on the inside, but you can look out still. I mean, it's got these big windows. I like the building, but other people don't.
It would be a great location for the Lucas Museum. However, they're looking at this strictly as Plan B at this point, right? This is if the original site is unavailable because of the Friends of the Parks petition. This would be Plan B.
Right. Jan was, he's kind of, there's a kind of a code of silence or, you know, professional courtesy with architects. And he didn't want to get too critical about, or even too much of an advocate to save the building, but he thought it could be repurposed. But he thought that George Lucas and Melody Thompson, he said, when you're building a memorial, rich folks, they don't like to share. they don't want to share it with the past. They want it to be all new and all theirs.
And they shouldn't have to share. And it doesn't make sense either to rip down a building that's already standing and looks beautiful there to make way for this.
Well, some people would argue with the beautiful part. I think I've heard of,
I guess,
compared
it's
to the Berlin Wall, but. But it is an interesting building that kind of melds the international style with the Prairie School. And
Should the Friends of the Park change their name to Friends of the Lake? Because they're really more concerned about us losing our view of the lake, aren't they?
No, I think that they've been pretty consistent on this. They're not going to change it like the mayor wants to Friends of the Parking Lot.
That Rahm, he's got such a sense of humor.
But no, they've been consistent on this throughout. And, you know, you have to give them credit, and their lawyer, Tom Gagin, when he filed this suit, it was not on the Lakefront Protection Ordinance. It was on the State Public Trust Ordinance, and that has, public trust, statute, and that has the judge has been receptive to that so far.
Taking away land that belongs to the public, is that what
is? Technically, it's a landfill, so it's actually supposed to be lake. So because of that, the state has a right to it. And the General Assembly tried to toss it back to the city with a measure, but Gagin again argued that you can't do that. You can't abandon your own trust. You have to keep that trust, and it's your job to preserve it, and that's won the game so far.
Isn't it a parking lot, though, at this point?
Yes.
So I guess it's preserved in asphalt.
Well, they don't want a new building east of Lakeshore Drive. That's one of the things that they've been arguing.
You know, we're fortunate here in Chicago. The way our city is structured, we have an incredible unobstructed view of the lake. If you look at other major cities, they would have built buildings all along the lake, and it would have blocked our view of the lake. But because of the way Chicago is, we haven't. I have to say, there's plenty of spaces where you get a tremendous view of the lake. You get incredible park all along that lake. I think it's a small price to pay for the revenue that it would bring in, for the tourism that it would bring in. Don't you?
Well, there were Southside community leaders just yesterday saying, hey, this is going to be big for jobs. It's good for the area. Let's go ahead and do this. So, I mean, it's back and forth. And, you know, the Friends of the Parks have been outnumbered, probably, you'd have to say, so far. But they've stood up.
So how is this lawsuit still standing up, and when do we expect any movement? I mean, when is a decision going to be made?
Well, the mayor's proposal earlier this month to basically demolish McCormick Place, the big black building, what they call the Lakeside Center, and put the museum there, Lucas and Hobson have put out a statement saying that they would accept that.
Oh, yeah?
Friends of the Parks have said that they would be receptive. But then you bring in Preservation Chicago saying, you know, this is a beautiful building, mid-century modern, really can't be replaced, and we should preserve it.
But it doesn't have landmark status.
It does not. It does not yet.
Are there somebody trying to rush to get that done really
quickly?
I don't
know. They did that
oh, God, the Friends of the Landmark.
They rushed through Burton Place. That's right, Burton Place up in Old Town, an artist colony. A building was going to be demolished, and right away they tried to rush in landmark status.
Uh-oh.
And they were slow about it, but just from that pressure, they got somebody to sell it, and that building has been preserved.
Ted, is somebody going to wake up with a Tauntaun's head in their bed? Do you think that might happen?
Well, maybe the mayor will send a fish to somebody. Who knows?
All right. We're talking to Ted Cox. He's reporter and producer for DNAinfo.com. We're talking about the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art. And Jason, you actually work at the McCormick Place right now?
Hey, good morning, crew. Yeah, I run a forklift over. I'm a union guy. But hey, check it out. The building's old, okay? It's not user-friendly for us or even, say, you know, the conventioners. It really isn't. The building is old. Now, it's a beautiful building. You know what it reminds me of is a Hancock building, because it's kind of...
It does have that same...
Yeah, yes.
Kind of lying
design.
Down.
Yeah, yes, on its side.
You know, if we're bringing that museum into town, it's going to generate more revenue. We have an IMTS show. It's a machine and tool show every 2 years. Giant machines come in this place. We don't set up anything over 12 feet on the east side because the trucks, it's not user friendly. The docks are up against the wall. The outside drivers have to drop their trailers. They have these spotters because there's no room. And it's only a half a million square foot. And it's not utilized as much as the west side, by no means. There's over a million square foot on the west side.
So it's antiquated in the sense where it can't be used for certain things.
Now, the west side, you know, in order to get up to the concourse, there's tunnels and this and that. You ever been over to east side? Y'all need to get off Lakeshore Drive and just go underneath the tunnel. You said it perfectly, antiquated. There's a lot of structural problems in the floor.
I hope this isn't your real name,
sure.
Jason, because...
I said Spartan, actually.
You know, Mayor Rahm Emanuel is going to try and get a hold of you, but hopefully your bosses won't.
With that being said, if we're talking about it in a business sense, it makes more sense to have something that's going to bring in more revenue.
Sure.
With that museum across the way, we won't have to worry about our high taxes and everything else that are keeping trade shows out of town, because it will also be a revenue builder. When you have a trade show in town, all these expositioners from out of town, out of state, out of the country, they're going to want to go to that museum on top of the trade show that's in town.
You don't happen to have a $1.2 billion on you, do you?
You know what?
Can you get it by three?
Yeah, we can get all the union guys together and we'd take your money. But ladies and gentlemen, I got to go back to work.
So, thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Just an opinion.
All right, well, thank you so much, and I know Rahm Emanuel is going to try and locate this guy and have Jason be his mouthpiece for a little bit, because it makes some sense. We have to take a quick break. We have some calls on this. We'll continue talking about the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art. Ted Cox in the studio, and we go live to the newsroom right now with Steve Bertrand.
You know, the sentencing hearing for former Speaker Dennis Hastert continues in federal court. Ryan Burrell is there, and one of the men who says he was victimized by Hastert when Hastert was the wrestling coach at Yorkville High School is on the stand this morning, and he is talking about that, which is a remarkable and shocking thing in and of itself. But we have learned his identity. 53-year-old Scott Cross has identified himself in federal court and says that he felt the need to come forward. Scott Cross is the brother of Tom Cross, the former House Republican leader in the state legislature.
Wow.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
A protege of Dennis Hastert.
How about that?
So a pretty remarkable turn of events in federal court this morning.
And what the courage of him to come forward like this.
Yeah, well, he said that's part of it, that he wants to encourage others to have that courage as well. We'll have more coming up at 11, but quite a twist this morning at
Thanks,
the Dirksen
Steve.
Federal Building.
All right, a quick break, and then
I fell on you.
That's all right. More with Ted Cox from DNA Info next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, along with our guest Ted Cox, reporter and producer for DNA Info. We're talking about the different possibilities for the Lucas Museum. Ted, if either Mayor Daley, you pick your favorite Mayor Daley, if he was still in charge of the city, would this have been a different story?
I think probably just because of the climate was different, the legal climate. I mean, he pushed some things through that that was the Chicago way.
Yeah,
and he would have put X's on the Soldier Field parking lot, so they would have had to demolish
right.
it anyway.
Right, that's right, right. Just bring out the bulldozer.
Yeah.
And I think that this has caught people by surprise. I'm not saying that the current mayor, doesn't have the same amount of clout, but obviously he's a little bit weakened right now with other things going on. And for some reason or other, they're getting a fair hearing, which yeah. I think has caught everybody by surprise.
There's no place for a fair hearing in this city.
Right.
I'm sorry. We can't have it.
Away.
Sets a bad precedent.
And, you know, I am married to a Star Wars aficionado, but it's beyond Star Wars. This we heard Indiana Jones music coming in. It's a museum of narrative art. There's going to be different displays, a Norman Rockwell thing, exhibit, not thing. And it's really would fit in perfectly with Museum Row over there.
Right. And I think it's not just the Rockwell paintings. It's movies. It's any art that has a narrative drive to it. So including like comic strips, cartoons.
That is so cool.
Our city already has a great lineup of museums, but this falls more under the guise of pop culture and art, and I think that would be such a nice compliment to what already exists.
Right, because we've already got the old dry museums.
Yeah, your dinosaurs, they look great, your artwork, your old artwork, but this would be
still
a nice,
great.
It's all great.
You know, if you've come to Chicago, you want to see the old and the new and
yeah.
the interesting
yeah.
as well.
Right.
All right, so the big question is, if this building goes up, if the Friends of the Park lawsuit goes away and George Lucas and Melody Hobson can build this, we're not paying for that, are we?
That's what the mayor says. The citizens will not pay for it. But, you know, do you believe that or not?
I don't know. And I'd mean if it goes up where it wanted right. to. Now, what if it goes, if the McCormick Place is bulldozed,
right.
who pays for that?
Right. It's that would be the city. Actually, technically, it's what they call McPier, the Metropolitan Pier and Authority, you know, whatever that is. The group that oversees both McCormick Place and Navy Pier. And they're going to float almost $1.2 billion in bonds, according to this proposal. Now, it's going to be fronted by $750 million from George Lucas, which is a nice chunk of change.
Sure.
But at the same time, they're going to be on the hook for $1.2 billion in bonds paid over time.
They've done some sort of a survey to try to determine exactly how much revenue this would bring in on an annual basis, I'm guessing, right?
I don't know.
Is that impossible?
If you think that is, it's certainly, you know, when you get into talking $1.2 billion, I don't think you're talking about whether it's going to justify that.
Yeah.
You're thinking probably as a loss leader or something that's going to bring, you know, prestige and tourists to Chicago.
Yeah, sure.
All right, we have a phone call from Kathy, and 312-981-7200. I just want this to happen, or I want it to happen, but I want this lawsuit to be finished with. It's been on for 2 years.
Wendy needs it so she'll know where her husband is.
Hey, Kathy, what do you think?
Well, I don't think it would be a problem if George Lucas would turn over the ownership of the building to the city. I think that's one of the problems. All those other museums are publicly owned. They're not privately owned.
Ted, your thoughts?
That some people have mentioned that. And, you know, if Lucas wants to get this museum built, why doesn't he just give it to the city? Well, I think we have to go back probably to Helmut Jahn's thing where the rich, when they build memorials, don't want to share. I think that's one of the things. You want control over it. You want editorial control over what's going in the museum.
Yeah.
And that's probably what the reason why he's building it.
For him, it's much more editorial control than it is a financial gain. He's doing okay financially.
Yeah, he doesn't need the money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we're speculating on them, but I mean, that's what you would think.
And it's his
I would think he could make some kind of a deal to have some sort of editorial control over it, even though the city would own it.
I still don't think that lawsuit would go away, would it?
I think that they could still contest it. They could still push it. And, you know, as it is, they could, even with the McCormick thing, they could press the same case. But that's another thing that people, another idea that somebody's been writing about is that maybe this is, we're floating this in order to get Friends of the Parks on board. Maybe we put the museum back on the parking lot and we just raised McCormick Place and just turn that into green space. Would Friends of the Parks agree?
Interesting.
To that?
Oh, that's interesting. Hmm. Okay.
Thank you so much, Kathy. If I had a collection, you collect toys, Bill. If you were going to make like, well, you already have complete control over what goes where and what toys next to the other toy.
Right.
But if you were sharing with the city some of the stuff that made you famous, wouldn't you want complete control over
it? Yeah.
I completely get that.
Yeah.
It's like almost a gift to us.
Yeah. Right.
And we're going to lose it, people. We are going to lose it. 630 says, everyone thinks it's going to be a Star Wars museum. It's not. That's only a small part. So people may end up being disappointed, and it may not be such a moneymaker. I disagree. I think people from all over the world, Star Wars is such a loyal and huge community. I think people from all over the world would come to see that and be impressed with the other stuff in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I like Star Wars, not as much as some people, so I want to see the other stuff. I think it's totally going to be a moneymaker for the city.
One of the things that I find interesting about this story is that everybody has a take on it and a point of view, and they're all pretty valid. Friends of the Parks, the architect preservationists, the city, Lucas. I mean, they can all make a defense for what they're doing, and we'll see how it shakes out.
And when will it shake out? When do you see any
that's
movement?
A good question. There is no movement yet on the suit. We don't know yet if you know how far they're going to advance on the McCormick Place idea, and that is another potential snag, though, in that floating these bonds, you're going to have to go to Springfield to get permission, and what's coming out of there these days?
How are they going to approve this when they can't keep the schools open?
Right.
Oh, my God.
It sounded so much more promising before that last part, Ted. I was really happy until that last part.
Maybe there is one indefensible unit in this equation.
Oh, that's not good. Ted, thank you. We appreciate that. That's Ted Cox. He's
anytime.
A reporter and a producer over at DNA Info. Go to dnainfo.com. All the details are there. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.